Karen Stouse is program director for Free the Slaves, a Washington, D.C.-based NGO that fights trafficking and slavery in six nations, including Ghana and the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC. She says that in these and other impoverished nations, what begins as a search for subsistence work by children often leads to labor trafficking and ultimately sexual exploitation and slavery.
What happens often is that the parents may feel that they can't afford to put their children in school, and so they take a risk. They accept their children's desires to go off and work in a mining site or work in the nearby bigger town because the children themselves, just like any teenagers anywhere, they want to experience something besides grinding poverty, and so they're looking for something that's more exciting, that looks like they might be able to earn money. And so the parents may be tempted to say, well, if the child works, then we will also have more income for the family. But once the children get into those situations where there's some separation from the family and they become vulnerable to sexual exploitation by others in those environments.
In Ghana and the DRC, many young people are sent by their families to go work in independent and unregulated mines, but are quickly forced to sexually service the men there.
We also have countries where conflict exists and there are uncontrolled armed groups, including, unfortunately, sometimes even national armies. Those groups are kidnapping girls and women and boys and sexually abusing them alongside forcing them to do other types of work.
Sex trafficking occurs everywhere in the world, but in Africa, it can easily become a factor in child marriage, a widespread traditional practice which girls, even very young girls, can sometimes be forced to undergo. In Tanzania, for example, girls from one part of the country may be transported against their will to a tribe in another corner of the country and forced to marry older men. This is technically illegal, according to Justa Maituka of Kowede, a grassroots children's rights development and advocacy group based in Dar es Salaam. But compulsory child marriage is frequently tolerated or condoned by parents, tribal leaders, and elders.
Children are forced to marry. Immediately when they are into marriage, they are forced to sex. They become pregnant very early at the age of 13, 14, and very difficult for them to go into labor. Oftentimes, there is even a loss of life, as well as poverty. Psychologically, they are being traumatized and nobody attends them. Villages are scattered, no opportunity for them to continue with the schooling, and there is no any other alternatives. So the life is completely ruined.
Frequent divorce is another catastrophe faced by many of these enslaved girls, especially in conflict areas and refugee camps where men want sex but also wish to observe the customs of traditional marriage. In such cases, a girl may be forced to marry one man who has sex with her, only to hand her off to another man for marriage and sex and subsequent divorce and remarriage. In cases where a husband takes money from another man for the right to marry and have sex with a girl, he is effectively prostituting her. But Karen Stouse says that even if a girl escapes, she may have a stigma to endure.
Where the stigma really attaches is once someone comes out of a situation like that, then they're completely rejected by their family and by their community. They're not able to get back to a place of safe freedom. And so they can be re-exploited in some other way, trafficked again for labor or sex or some other type of exploitive situation.
Free the Slaves and other anti-trafficking organizations are fighting sexual exploitation and trafficking on several fronts. One helpful strategy has been to try to create what Karen Stouse calls a positive culture of child protection.
And those programs target both the children who are vulnerable to abuse, the parents and community members who should be protecting them, and sometimes even the abusers who, because of a lack of information or because of harmful social norms around children's rights, are committing the abuse but have the potential to change. And we have definitely seen cases where some of those abusers change.
Education, especially for girls, is also considered key, as are workshops that inform young people of their human rights and the protections they're guaranteed by international law and the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. Anti-trafficking activists also want better access to justice. At a minimum, this means compensation for child trafficking victims and criminal prosecution for their exploiters. Access to justice is a subject we will examine later in the series. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.